A group of 4 to 8 year olds was asked the question, what does it mean to love? What does love mean to you? Children are wonderful. They come up with the greatest answers. Chrissy, who is 6 years old, she said, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries. There you go. That's love. Rebecca, who was 8 years old, she said, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Danny, age 7, said, love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy, and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Isn't that cute? Noel, age 7, said, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, and he wears it every day. One more. Bobby, 87, said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening the presents and listen. Pretty insightful for children. Today we're going to focus on the theme for the second week of Advent, which by now I know you have seen and heard, is love. Love is one of those words that has a wide variety of meanings, depending on the context. But the most common usage of the word, besides when you say, I love pizza, or something like that, is to use the word love as an expression of emotion or feeling towards someone. It's that warmth or attachment that you sense when you're with someone. When you say to someone that you love them, it's usually a statement of how you feel towards someone. You are drawn to them. You are attached to them. You desire them. And all that is wonderful. It's great. It really is. But that alone does not nearly cover what love really is, or the depth of love. Love is illustrated in this story that I read, an incident that happened in late October of last year, 2016, in Washington State, not too far from Seattle. It's a story of a mother who was sleeping in her home with her 3 young daughters, the oldest being 7. She woke up around midnight to the sight and smell of thick, choking smoke. As she opened her bedroom door, a large portion of her home was already in flames. She grabbed 2 of her girls and hauled them outside. When she went back in for the 3rd daughter, the fire was significantly worse. She had to literally crawl through the smoke, closing her eyes. She couldn't see it anyway through the smoke, and feeling her way upstairs where she found her 3rd daughter in her bedroom. She hung on to her, and she crawled back through the flames, quite literally protecting her daughter. She managed to get as far as the front door, where she collapsed, unable to open the door. It was about that time that a passerby who had seen her going in had come to the door and opened the door and found her just inside, having collapsed and hauled her and the last daughter outside, while the bedroom was completely engulfed. Both mother and daughter survived. Both were severely burned, but the mother by far took the worst of it, for she protected her daughter as best she could. Her recovery required many weeks of painful surgery and treatment that left her permanently scarred. That's what love is. It's not just a feeling. It's a commitment to sacrifice. When you love someone, you are essentially putting someone before yourself, which is not nearly as easy to do as it sounds. Oh, sure, we can do it sometimes, here and there. And quite often, we actually put someone ahead of ourselves, and we're actually kind of secretly hoping or expecting that they'll do something for us. It's kind of a I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine kind of thought. But to love in a deep, sacrificial, unselfish way is indeed more challenging and most unusual. And yet, that is exactly how God loves us, how God loves you. And that is also how God calls us to love one another. I am thrilled when I see the church loving one another. Truly, genuinely loving one another. Sacrificially. For that is what Christ would have us do. There are lots of places in the Bible that we can see the love of God. But one of the clearest statements is in a passage of Scripture that Pastor Clayton happened to read this morning from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. This is what the Word of the Lord says. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. What a beautiful passage. God's love is made complete. It is expressed fully in how we love one another. What a great thought. This morning, I'd like for us to look at those action words that are associated with love. Remember, I said it's not just a feeling, it's not just an emotion. It's an action, it's a commitment. And the words that are used in 1 John 4 are the words that God showed His love. He sent His Son, who became a sacrifice. Those are all actions. Actions that were motivated by God's love for us. And to truly understand the nature of God's love for us, we need to understand the reality and the consequences of sin. If we don't believe in the reality of sin, which there are people who don't, or if we deny the reality that there are eternal consequences to sin, and again, there are many who don't believe that, then the actions of God toward us don't make any sense. Why would we need it? Who cares? I've got no problem. It doesn't matter. But if we believe God's word, we most certainly need God's love. The Bible says that we have all sinned. It even goes so far as to say that if we think we haven't sinned, we kid ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have all sinned. We know that. And yet so much of the world tries to deny that. Oh, there's no such thing as sin. Really? And the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. We don't like to look at that, but that's the reality. Sin leads to death. Physically, yes, but even more so, far worse, the spiritual separation from God. Let's face it, our sin takes us away from God. And in the end, God simply lets us have our way. God doesn't throw us into hell with an evil grin of vengeance, saying, ha ha ha, there you go, you can suffer now. We put ourselves into hell when we rebel against God, when we push him away and away and away, and we say, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't even believe in you. We push him. And in the end, we find ourselves where our resistance to God has taken us. Away from him. Separated. Eternally. In hell. But this is where God's love comes in. He doesn't want that for us. Any more than a loving mother wouldn't care less if their child was trapped in a burning building. That's okay. No problem. That's not going to happen. And God didn't simply lament our sinful condition, throw up his hands in the air and say, oh, well, that's what they deserve. Let them suffer. He loves us. And so he showed, there's that action word, he showed the full extent of his love by providing a way out of our hopeless situation. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 puts it this way, but God demonstrates, there's that action word again, demonstrates, what a beautiful word, his love for us. It's like, you guys don't get it. I'm going to show you again. This is how it is. He demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we got our act together. Good luck on that one. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And how did God show or demonstrate this love? You know the verse, John 3:16. Last night we heard a commercial about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what love does. Look at the next verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, although we certainly deserved it, but to save the world through him. That is God's motivation, because our sin, my sin, your sin, takes us away from God. And we know that. But God's love draws us back to him. He demonstrated it. He showed it. Sometimes in this world, You hear about people talking about falling out of love. We don't love each other anymore. I don't mean to make light of that, because it's a very difficult place when someone is there. But that's not love. Perhaps they have fallen out of a willingness to serve. You know, when two people meet, they're eager to serve one another, aren't they? What would you like, honey? What can I get you? Would you like this? Would you care for some of that? I'm not sure we fall out of love, or if we fall out of a willingness to serve or communicate, or a willingness to sacrifice. I don't think you fall out of love. You fall out of forgiving. When something goes wrong, oh, that's okay. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. I didn't even notice. Did you really do that? I didn't even hear you say that. No, that didn't mean nothing to me. But sometimes we get to that place where we're not forgiving anymore. And we hold that grudge. And we remember that wrong. And we keep a record and we bring it back. We fall out of a willingness to repent. We get stubborn. We fall out of being gracious, extending grace. We fall out of putting someone ahead of ourselves. We don't fall out of love. Scripture says, love, true love, godly love, the way God loves us, love never fails. That's the kind of love that God has for you. Again, we only need to look at Jesus to see this. Look at what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. Scripture says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or even the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, love doesn't fail. All those things will not separate us from the love of God. And just to be clear, verse 38 and 39 goes on, for I am convinced, I love that word, convinced, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There is nothing that can get in the way of God's love for you. Because God's love for you, for me, does not depend on me or you. If God loved us based on how well we performed, if God loved us based on how well we've kept the commandments, kept our nose clean, if God loved us based on the attitudes that we held, we would be in trouble. But God's love is based on who He is, not on who you are. That's pretty good news. God's love never fails. Again, we see it in Jesus, in the way that He loved people. He touched the unclean lepers that others would run away from and scold and embarrass. He touched them. That is love. He talked to the outcast Samaritan woman. That is love. He took time for the woman who had committed adultery. He went to the house of Matthew, tax collector. He went to see Zacchaeus, not a nice guy. That is love. He prayed with his disciples in the upper room, knowing full well that one of them would betray him. That is love. And in the end, he literally took up the cross, dragged it through the streets, where he was crucified. And as he was being crucified, he asked his heavenly Father to forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That is love. That is sacrifice. And he did that because of our sin. That's why I said earlier, if we don't understand the reality of sin, we're not going to understand the power of God's love. It was our sin that held him to the cross. How? Why? Because even though God loves us, and He does, this is important, He can't simply ignore sin as if it never happened, pretend that it didn't occur, sweep it under the rug. He can't say, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, don't worry about it. It's okay, you'll get better. The wages of sin is death. From the beginning, from the time that Adam and Eve were created. But because He loves us, because He doesn't want us to face the consequences of that sin, He took our sin. He took our shame. He took our guilt. He took our condemnation. He took our pain. He took our sorrow. He took it all upon Himself. Instead of us being condemned, He was. He looked at death in the face so that we could look at the Heavenly Father in the face, so that we could be set free. You can either accept the fact that Jesus died for you, believe in Him, receive Him, or you can go on your own way and face the consequences of sin yourself. But that won't lead to a very good spot. That is why God did something. He showed, demonstrated, He sent, He sacrificed, because He loves. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The sacrifice has already been made. The only part left for us is to receive God's gift of love through the person of Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we're going to receive communion, and when we receive communion, we are remembering the love of God and the sacrifice made by Jesus. It's more than simply acknowledging that Christ died. It's embracing the one who died for us. It's receiving Christ yet again as our Lord, as our Savior. It's knowing that this was done for me, for my sins, so that I could be set free. And so in a few moments, we're going to remember and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate the love that the Father has lavished upon us. And I encourage you, if you haven't already, to gratefully receive God's gift of love. How do you receive it? Well, God offers it. He has made the offer to us. Scripture says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You receive it by, well, the biblical word for that is repenting. It's turning away from sin and self and turning to God. To understand that he poured out his life for you, for me, a sinner, so that we could be set free and receive him as our Lord, as our Savior. And I pray that's where you're at. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't received God's gift of love, I want to encourage you that you can do that today. There's nothing magical about it. I don't have a secret formula to give you. But in your heart, if you would just take a moment and just bow your heart before the Lord and in the deep place in your heart, just submit yourself to God and say, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for me. I am the sinner. I am the one who deserves death. And yet you died for my sins. Would you take my sins? Would you make me a new person? I want to become a child of God. Receive me as your own. And if you would pray something along those lines in your heart, you will know, you can know, that you are a child of God, that you have received his gift of love, grace, forgiveness, mercy, hope, reason to celebrate. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you this morning, and we know, Lord God, that it is because of your gift of love that we can come and stand before you and have the hope of being a new creation. And Lord, I do pray this morning that if there's even one or perhaps more than one person here who today is seeking you and isn't quite sure where they stand. Maybe they've heard about you. Maybe they believe that you exist. They know about you for sure. But in their heart, maybe they haven't actually turned from themselves and turned to give their life to you. I pray, Father God, that they would do that just now in the quietness of this place and receive you as their Lord, as their Savior, that they would cross over from death, which is what we face without you, to life, life eternal, when we've come to you, Lord. Oh, and God, help us to rejoice in you. Help us, Lord God, to rejoice in the celebration of communion, Lord, as we remember the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, a sacrifice reflecting the love of God. And Lord, may we love one another in response to your love for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.